Before I will enter this part, I would just like to complete what we have started in the last class. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little, what is it called, tired. We had given a few texts from the Bhagavatam where we are encouraged to see Krishna as a good friend. Now, this needs to be looked at. The difference between ordinary bhakti and the bhakti which is executed in Braj is that there is in Braj a certain conception of Krishna, you are mine. It's philosophically called mamatva. This you do not have in all other stations in the spiritual development. It is unique. And Sanatana Goswami explains that one sees in this on this level of bhakti, Krishna as once Lokabandhu, means an ordinary or normal friend, just like you have friends here. Now, when we spoke about Krishna as the best friend, we did not really imply this, because such a type of relationship to Krishna presupposes that one has realized one's original constitutional position and the feelings which accompany that. That will be revealed more and more as the heart becomes purified and bhakti, the bhakti lata, the plant of bhakti, grows. Now, when we speak of being a friend of Krishna, we don't want to jump prematurely into such an understanding which only is real when it is revealed at a state of Krishna consciousness where you are aware of your identity as an eternal servant, a specific eternal servant of Krishna. Now, with this idea, Krishna is the best friend, which the Bhagavatam teaches and also the Gita, a type of closeness to Krishna is indicated. God is not very distant, and he's not like we hear in the Christian idea that he's always angry at every little mistake, and he has problems with the world he has created because, unfortunately, his opposing enemy Lucifer has taken over, and therefore he gets gray hair. I'm exaggerating. Actually, it's not fair to do such generalization. But what I want to I take this back. It's not. We should respect others, or other religious feelings. But what I wanted to express is, now Krishna is right there in the heart. He's our heart's friend. He has been with us throughout our various births and deaths, and he has not given up on us. When he sees that someone turns to him, he becomes very, very moved and says, in Prabhupada's word, come on, come on. He encourages that. How do I express this type of friendship to Krishna, which the Bhagavatam talks about and the Gita talks about? How do I give it an expression? The answer is a known answer. It means you express some service. You do something in devotional service to to Krishna. I have a wonderful quotation by Srila Prabhupada, which I find so nice. He says, friendship means feeling friends' welfare always. It means something, you want to do something good for the friend. Friendship is not simply chatting. Friendship means thinking how my friend will be happy. This is friendship. It brings us back to Prabhupada's definition of what is devotional service. It means a voluntary activity for the pleasure of the Lord. So you, if you want to express, or let us say, experience in a way, and then express friendship to Krishna, you should voluntarily do something, like picking a gardenia flower and offering it, giving it to the pujari, and because we want to respectfully approach the deities on the main altar, but giving it to the pujari so that he can give it. Or you could, in home, I guess any all of you have a little small altar, a place where you invite the Lord. You come home and you bring a gardenia. I'm sorry to belabor the gardenia points, but I'm already getting many multiple garlands due to my attachment to gardenias, which I have only discovered very recently. It's an acquired attachment. Just a few days ago, I thought, my God, this is a wealth of Florida. So you can come home and bring in something for Krishna. You can think, oh, today I will, the Sunday feast is coming. I want to serve the devotees of Krishna and please Krishna thus by serving them prasadam. I never did this. I hope I don't do a mistake, but I will sensitively give exactly the preparations the devotees like, not too much, not too little, and in this way they are dear to Krishna. I will certainly please Krishna. Something spontaneously, something voluntarily, something expressly, you have to, it's for Krishna. This is very, very, very nice. I'm trying to find something here. I found it. So you must know, in all the five rasas, that is the five relationships an individual has can have for Krishna, there is one underlying activity, one underlying drive, one underlying principle with which you can very well connect even here in this material world, and that is service. So you express, like Prabhupada said, your service, just like when you come to a good friend, you say, I want to give this to you. I was thinking about it. This is a good, this is a very first-class coconut water. I've just learned the taste of it. Please, you also take this. This is the service attitude. Once, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a private conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati. This was after he had convinced him to take up the path of bhakti. Prakashananda was the leader of 60,000 disciples in Varanasi, very prominent spiritual leader. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had convinced him on the basis of the Bhagavatam that it is bhakti to Krishna which is the foremost goal of human life. At another meeting he said, now please, Prakashananda, hear from me about the process of bhakti which is applicable to any country, for any person, at all times and in all circumstances. Would you know that process of bhakti which is applicable in any country? I suppose that includes America. For any person, I think that is even for a New Yorker. At all times, I see that this you can do in the morning, the evening, the morning, noon, evening, and night, and in all circumstances, yeah, even when you are down, it can be done. So then he said, quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam. He said, you must know, here is the process. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys everything inauspicious for his devotees, does not leave the heart of his devotees, even if they remember him and chant about him inattentively. Even then, this is because the robe of love always binds the Lord within the devotees' hearts. Such devotees should be accepted as most elevated. So it is here where you express your friendship. It is here how you invite the Lord in your heart. Just like a good friend, we always think of him in the heart. You chant his name. Even if you're not always successful in chanting inoffensively, that means even if at times you are inattentive, chant his holy name. This is what everyone can do, because Krishna is a Sanskrit word which I don't have present at the moment in my memory. Krishna has this quality. He likes to be talked about. There is a Sanskrit expression. He likes really if people talk about him. If they chant his name, that's the supreme talking, you know. If I would always say, now I would pick out some name. Shri Ram, Shri Ram, Shri Ram, Shri Ram. After 5 minutes, Shri Ram would be highly charged up, you know. So Krishna likes to be talked about. Our desire that someone notices us has a divine origin. So this is how you can serve Krishna. He has his liking. It's a good thing. Once His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, who is known in our community, Krishna conscious community, as organizing really massive preaching each evening, each day or throughout the years, he confided in me that he had a meeting with Prabhupada, and there he asked Prabhupada how to chant. And Prabhupada said, well, if you chant, you just think, oh, my dear friend. This was when he was a new devotee. Prabhupada was not talking about rasa, of Sakya rasa. No, that's not the point. He was talking about address Krishna personal. This is a personal movement. We are not dried out impersonalists. This is how you bring life back to your bhakti. Hare Krishna. I wanted to just clarify this. It needed, I feel, in our circle, this clarification, so that we are knowing exactly how to apply it. Good. This was just a brief thing. Now I would like to talk about how to bring the retreat home. What to make out of it. Ultimately, it is, of course, up to each individual how much they are willing to engage with the subjects which they have heard in their practical life. But from my side, I want to just give some suggestions that could work for you. My dear devotees, my dear friends and skeptics, amongst you, have to be all inclusive, no? What we are talking about since 2 days, 2.5 days now, is simply how to enliven our bhakti, our devotion, our devotional service for Krishna. And this, a very powerful agent to do this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course the holy name and the association with devotees. We tried in the seminar to have all the three there. We chanted a lot. You have maybe also participated in some nice kirtans. I want to really thank you for that. You have really chanted with your heart. We could really feel that. It's wonderful chanting episodes or sessions. Then we have recited a lot from the Bhagavatam, both verses as well as longer content like the Ajamil and Sudama narrations and what we can learn from it. But and you had a devotee association, and you were requested to engage on a high level of sadhu sangha, that is, sharing with devotees your spiritual insights. The underlying principle behind all this is very simple: to strengthen the bhakti. If our bhakti is strong, then the life is, even in this world, very blissful. And we are going after this life back home, back to Krishna. Our bhakti is sometimes challenged when we are accosted or attacked by the, here's a Chinese expression, I like it very much, the 1,000 urgent things, which are small things, which invade our life and keep us busy so much. Also the things which have their own dynamics, and especially now in Kali Yuga, maybe you have noticed the amount of negativity increases. I heard Americans are not satisfied with their president. I've heard this. Or in our own circles, we also find devotees not always 100% satisfied with their leaders. And devotees react maturely in it and immaturely, like all human beings. Dissatisfaction is all around and increases, and fears maybe of, you know, when you open the newspaper and you see the newest threats, it seems there's always one threat after the other. And we always think, well, this is now the ultimate thing. Soon we will have to hide in holes under the earth, the bombs will fall, etc. It's negativity. It's just, this is symptomatic for Kali Yuga. And of course, when our bhakti, our devotion is surrounded by so much of this inauspicious atmosphere, it also can become weakened. There is a very ancient story of how bhakti became weak and how it became revitalized. It's in the Padma Purana. I think many of you know, so therefore I will just explain it briefly. Bhakti had been very strong in South India, but then went through different parts of India, and it says when it came to Gujarat, it became extremely weak because there were not so much bhakti practice there at that time. Although Gujarat has also its saints like Tukaram, Namdev, etc. But this is the Padma Purana explaining that bhakti then was accompanied by her two sons, Jnana and Vairagya. And she could see that because she was weak, the mother was weak, Jnana, that is knowledge, and detachment from this world also became weak. Maybe you have seen that in your life also. When your devotion gets compromised and your love for Krishna, you don't even think of him so regularly. Then when bhakti is becoming weak, your knowledge what should be done in life and also your ability to say no to the harmful distractions from bhakti, it also suffers. So bhakti, as a conscientious mother, thought, I have to save my sons, they are almost dead. And she made the plan to go to Vrindavan Dham. Now in Vrindavan Dham, she herself, being bhakti and being so close to her master, or to Srimati Radharani and to Krishna, she felt enlivened. However, jnana and vairagya were already so much compromised that they fainted on the ground and they didn't come back to life. So at that time, Narada Muni, who was just traveling through the world, saw this beautiful goddess of bhakti, Bhakti Devi, in the on the banks of the Yamuna, and next to her, two men who looked very old. They had aged very quickly, gray hair, and they were lifelessly there, just throbbing. Like this, and Narada Muni saw that this divine goddess was crying, and she said, he stopped and said, who are you, and who are these men? And Bhakti Devi looked at him and said, I'm Bhakti, can you help me? These are my sons. They look so old, and you look so young. Yes, I came to Vrindavan and I was revived, but it was too late for my sons. They are on the verge of death. Jnana, and they are called Jnana and Vairagya. Can you help them? You are a saint. Please help my sons to survive. It was the honest crying of a mother for the welfare of her sons. So Narada Muni was really touched in his heart, and he said, what should be done? And I need guidance in this. And he went to the four Kumaras and said, told them what he had seen. And the four Kumaras said to him out into the face, Narada Muni, your intelligence is bewildered. You know what to do. You know what brings life to our spiritual knowledge and our detachment from this world. Didn't you preach to your disciple Vyasadev after he had composed all the Vedic scriptures and was still dejected? Didn't you tell him that he had missed the glorification of Krishna, the beautiful narration of the Srimad Bhagavatam? You said this in the past. Why have you forgotten? Bhagavatam is the solution. It must be recited. Narada Muni, oh yes, thank you for yes, I remember. Yes. And it worked with Vyasadev. Yeah. So he came back to Bhakti, who was still crying in Vrindavan, and said, I have the solution. The Bhagavatam brings strength to you and to your sons. But I feel, because I've forgotten, I don't feel so qualified. Let's go to the four Kumaras and let us ask the oldest of them, Sanatana, to do a Bhagavatam recital. Let's bring your dead son. So Bhakti Devi took her sons. They went to where the Kumaras were, and the Kumaras recited the Bhagavatam. My dear devotees, every hour the sons were looking juvenile or youthful, more youthful. The gray in the hair went. They had handsome appearance. They woke up from their fainted condition. Bhakti Devi became more brilliant as the Bhagavatam recital was going on. And when the Kumaras had finished the recital, Bhakti Devi said, "I want to say something also." The Kumaras were silent. She's Bhakti Devi. Let us hear her to our full profit, full benefit. Bhakti Devi said, "What has just happened, that is that by the recital of the Bhagavatam, I have become enlivened and my sons are now fully youthful and strong and everything. That is something wonderful. I want to pronounce, in Kali Yuga, I will again become weak. In Kali Yuga, the knowledge or jnana will become weak, and so will vairagya. But any house where the Bhagavatam is recited, at that place I will reside and I will become strong and my sons will become strong. This is the blessings I pronounce. I will personally come to that home where the Bhagavatam is recited regularly." Gaura Premarani Hari Hari Bo. Yes, don't scream just like this. You scream is not the word. Exclaim enthusiastically. It means something. You should recite the Bhagavatam in your home. Then you have bhakti in your life, strong bhakti. And as a result, your knowledge will be strong, what to do and what not to do. And your detachment from the harmful things, which you know they are only distracting me from what I really want. But up till now, I was not able to say no to my puny attachments. You will be able to joyfully say, "No, not required at the moment. Bhagavatam has filled me up with enthusiasm and strength." I want to say, but you should read the Bhagavatam with faith. You should read the Bhagavatam very regularly, and you should make the effort to be attentive. Okay? There's a book out on the German market which is the most best-selling book. It has the title, "You Have to Change Your Life." It appeals to everyone because, as I mentioned earlier, in Kali Yuga, no one is satisfied with what they do. I wish to ask you a few questions now. My dear devotees, some of you told me and wrote to me that you had an experience. Something precious came to you from the pages of the Bhagavatam. It is at this moment small, like a seed of a sequoia tree. Sequoia is like a redwood tree, large tree. When you receive a seed, you have to make it grow into a tree of your new life. Manoram Prabhu gifted me yesterday or the day before yesterday with a seed. It is a cone in which there are several seeds of a sequoia tree. Do I say it properly? Sequoia? It's these huge trees. They become, 360 feet high. In meters, that's something like 130 or 140 meters. And he was giving this to me, and he said, he said, look at this, what I'm giving to you. There's a small, small seed, or few small seeds inside. Each one of them has the potential to develop into a 1 meter and 40 high tree. This is from here to Washington, so big, you know. Almost. It's a huge, huge tree. It comes from a seed. In the same way, when we come to a retreat or a seminar and we hear new things, we receive a seed of a new understanding. It's still small. We are not sure what we should do with this. Maybe we should do something, maybe not. Or you may think, I know myself. I counted 1,211 and a half time inspired in Krishna consciousness, but I didn't do anything out of it. This will be another one of this. It feels good as you sit and hear, yes, he has prepared something, okay, a new story, a good joke, and so on, and gone with the wind after one day. This happens with seeds who are not cultivated. This happens with seeds who are not carefully planted into the ground and who are not given an environment in which they can grow. I heard that these sequoia trees, seeds, although they have the potential to grow into a huge tree, only a few make it, because certain conditions need to be there. So it's also like this. What you do with the seed is entirely up to you. In a seminar, the facilitators can try their best to convince and answer doubts. But if we as a participant want to experience something after the seminar, that's much more important what goes on after the seminar. Otherwise, we create a culture of seminar junkies who always go to get their fix from a doctor, and then the idea is you should do yourself, you should fly your own plane, you should grow the seed of bhakti in the heart, in your own heart. That is good. My dear devotees, I told you in my life that maybe 20 years ago I was in a deep spiritual crisis. My crisis was a faith crisis. Manoram, can you tell everyone to not talk yourself? Because now it's important. Now we should pay attention. My own crisis was, I had joined a movement which promised purification of the mind, overcoming the enemies, developing love of Godhead, and so on. But I didn't feel anything of that. And because I had not done what many have done, to join a movement to have association and sangha, I was in a crisis. I was not in ISKCON for the society of ISKCON itself. No, it was admittingly very difficult for me to fit, because I came from an entirely different background. But I was only there not because of the nice people. The people were nice, I could see that also. But I had other friends, and they were They spoke German. The first devotees didn't speak German, you know, and so on. So I was there only for this, to purify the heart and to experience a real spiritual life, not for any other reason. I had no position which kept me. I did not get any money. In fact, I had to give so much money always. It didn't work for me. So there was absolutely, well, there was one reason. I happened to love Prabhupada. That kept me always. He somehow got in my impossible, polluted heart and kept me in his fist. Strong fist, by the way. Yes, but otherwise, I was in a crisis. I did not consider leaving him. I can't do this. You know, that is not the question. But the crisis was there. What should I do? And I asked myself a question which I want to ask you today. What will happen with your life if you go on the way you live at the present moment? Albert Einstein, do we say like this in American English? Einstein, maybe. Albert Einstein is maybe. Einstein? We say Einstein. Albert Einstein. He once gave a definition of craziness. It's to do the same things as you do presently and expect entirely different results. That never works. I know there's a lot of talk in ISKCON about our automatic process. It works automatically. But Burijan has lifted the veil which covers this mysterious expression of Prabhupada. It means this, that the process in itself has strengths. It doesn't require you, but you must enter the process. It's just like a lift. When you stand before the lift will not lift you up. So if you must enter that process, that is, you must enter the Bhagavatam, you must read it like Prabhupada wanted you to do. You must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You must avoid the 10 offenses. Then only it works. If you don't enter the process and just sit in the association of human beings, it will not work on you. So I was thinking myself, what is the risk if I go on like this, with no taste in the spiritual process, with doubts, with many unbecoming things in the heart, and I could see I will die as a sad old man who lost his inheritance because he joined the movement, and who did not gain anything instead. Now I could see that. I could see that. That was coming. And I want to ask you, therefore, the question. What will... I want to now turn the question around because it's such an unpleasant question. It's called risk. Thinking about the risk of not changing. Better is to think what could happen, what could you experience if you actually purify your heart and Krishna enters, as it says in the Bhagavatam, the lotus of your heart. What could happen? How would you feel? The next question is, I had to ask myself the question, what actions can I do, practical actions, which I do every day so that I come forward with the process. And then I also had to think, what is the greatest obstacle which I will encounter? For instance, when it comes to me and reading the Bhagavatam, the greatest obstacle, my greatest obstacle is I'm just so much engaged each day that when I have a little time, my mind is and this conversation, that conversation, and is that slide ready for the next presentation? And oh, the phone call to Germany, and oh, how will I ever collect this $100,000? Everyone is on my case, and I'm anyways not good in this any longer. And so much things are there. And then this person wrote you such a hate email. Oh no, what will you do now? Just pray or give him a ladu or what, you know. And then when I have time, because my day is so busy, and I have time, I mean, there's always time to read three verses of the Bhagavatam, then I don't do it. I sit on the chair and read easy literature. I go through my notes, or I just breathe, which I forget during the day. Then I think, is there something to eat? And then the time is already over, because after eating I'm tired, then I will sleep, and so on. This is my greatest obstacle, to sit down. I need to make time in the morning, otherwise it will not work for a person who's engaged like me. So, start with this. What is the risk? If I go on like this. Second question, what could happen to me if I really become a lover of God? How would be my life? Third is, what actions could I do? And the fourth is, what's my greatest obstacle to overcome? Once again, I want to say, when we have a seed of transcendental inspiration, my dear devotees, you need to cultivate around this, you need to put around these seeds water, light, and you need to do some weeding. In other words, you need to have, when you have received an inspiration, you need to cultivate a motivation. You need to give it water and light. It means nourishment. That means small actions, absolutely necessary. And you need to also take care that the obstacles are weeded. In my first lecture here, one wonderful devotee asked me, I lack the motivation, Maharaj, to do my spiritual cultivation. Yeah, you got a seed, but somehow you were not knowledgeable enough about spiritual botany. Botany? Botany. Botany, yes. Seed is not enough. You must cultivate it. You must create the environment so that it can grow. And if you have a harmful environment, whatever good you have will not work. I will tell you a story which I will never forget. I have one Ayurvedic doctor. He is my, we became friends. I'm now with another doctor because I think we became too much friends, and he didn't tell me enough, change this, no sweets any longer for you, and all these heavy things. Only this other doctor can tell me. He felt too much compassion. So this doctor, a very successful doctor, has developed very powerful clinics. It's a Mumbai, Dr. Pankaj Naram, maybe some of the old bodied Vaishnavas know him. He once told me a story which I never forget. He has somehow comes from a poor family and has become very influential and very wealthy, but he has never forgotten his what is poverty, and therefore he takes on patients from the slums of Mumbai and treats them for free. So he had once one boy was brought by his parents, who looked terrible. His skin was burned in many places, and he looked very skinny. And Dr. Pankaj Naram gave him excellent treatments, massages, and a lot of medicine, all for free. But the boy remained absolutely sickly and weak. And Pankaj Naram, the doctor, said, "What is happening here? These medicines are always working. My guru Ramdas was a guru of him, not New Age Ramdas, Indian Ramdas, was, he never fails. And I gave him the most expensive medicines, but there is no change." So one day, he was eager to lift the mess, the thing. He looked again with the boy and said, "I can't understand. You are so sickly and the medicines and the treatments don't work. What do you do for a living?" And then the boy said, "Our family is so poor. I work in the chemical factories." "Acha," said, "and what do you do?" "Well, I jump into these huge containers of chemicals. There's a rope around my belly and I swim around to stir up the chemicals." "Oh, yes, yes." Then the same reaction was there with Dr. Naram. "Ah, you get out of this chemical factories. If the environment is not right, how can we help you? I give you the money to go to a school, then you can train, or you can come to me and pack medicine. No longer chemical factory for you. It is you will only die in a few months if this goes on." So this is very simple. For us to understand. Is it as simple to understand when it comes to our own life? What do we do wrong so that we don't advance? This is a question. What is our unhealthy environment? What is our pot of chemicals which we stir up every day? Now, this we have to also consider, no? Because how can it work when we are not creating the proper motivation and goal in our life, if we do not create the proper actions, and if we do not do the weeding which is necessary from time to time. Good. So my request now is, I have thought about this very deeply, there may be some very critical people here in the audience who would say, no, Maharaj, we don't do anything after this seminar. You have not yet melted our hearts. Okay, one last attempt will come now. I will show you a very nice Vedic model for the transformation of the heart. Yes. Oh, it is maybe a little bit small, but you will see it when... Oh, yeah. Maybe we go... Yes, oh, you are an angel. I mean, you can go... yes. Go to the... What is it? The first point. You will only change something in your life when you have this prerequisite. You need to see the strong limitations of life, which is not done with spiritual activities and spiritual enthusiasm, and you need to confront the dissatisfaction. In the age of Kali, we only change when we are not satisfied with what is going on. This, my dear devotees, will bring you to the second stage. You will move into a liminal space and come closer to the Pradvamsa Abhava, No. To the adyanta abhava means a still point. I'm explaining what it is. Liminal space means an area where you have not yet developed the new life, but you have left the old life. I'm thinking a little bit of two wonderful devotees. I think they are here. I wrote about their life in a very, very impactful book. 5 years and 11 months is the book called. And there, the husband had understood, had been in contact with Krishna consciousness, and his good wife had not yet had the same contact, but they were obviously a wonderful team together. So they went into the Himalayas with the Bhagavad Gita to study the Bhagavad Gita. This is typical. When it's the quest, you know, when you are not, I don't want to live the same life necessarily as I live now. Let me do something where I feel even a little bit out of place still. It's something out of my comfort zone. And then you will, from there, come into your new life. That it always has to go like this. Exit your old life, but before you can enter the new life, there is a point of it's called a liminal space. It's not here and it's not yet there. It's the not yet stage, no? In simple English, as simple as I can say it. Not yet. You are not yet in Krishna consciousness. That's in the beginning, or you are not yet at the new habit. It happens, for instance, when you sit down for the kirtan and your mind is still churning all the material stuff, and you are not yet in the kirtan fully. You're just sitting there with the body. That's a liminal space. Okay, I'm not in my material life, but I'm also not in the kirtan zone at the moment. I better keep on chanting now and focusing, and then by doing what you do, you will leave that not yet state and come to a new state. That happens also when you adopt, for instance, the regulation, I want to read the Bhagavatam every day. You sit down and it's not at the first moment, enlightenment. Vroom. No, it's really the fifth canto. My God, is it really like this? I mean, how do you explain this to Donald Trump? He won't believe it. Trying to joke. So this is this liminal space, this in-between space, which you always enter whenever you do something new. This you must be prepared to do. You did it as a new bhakta and bhaktin. Remember, you left your university, your high school, or your slum in Cleveland, and you entered the temple, and then they said, new dress is required here, dress code. How do I do this? And then they came and bound a dhoti around you, and a zari, and you felt like, my God, if my mama sees me, like this. And it was a not yet state. You were not yet secure. But by continuing in this way, you became an old devotee, glorified by the younger devotees. No? So this is what you have to be prepared when you enter a new state. Think first of all about the strong limitations of the normal life and then move out of it. Then you come to the so-called still point. It's down there. It's where your old life has come to the end. Still point, it's called. And it's called the Adyanta Bhava. And from there, where your old life is silent, the emergence of unlimited possibilities and a new, better life comes. Hare Krishna. And as you see, my God, I can chant. I can go on Sangatan. Or here in relationship to the Bhagavatam. I can read the Bhagavatam every day and I can think about it and I can talk to my friends. Hey, that's what I read today. And so on. You will see how a new and better life emerges. And you will see the fourth stage, Praga Bhava, how you rise from the still point into and build the new life. To show you the whole thing in a survey, yes, thank you very much. You start seeing there's a limitation in my life, then you move into the liminal state, you encounter the still point. It's not always comfortable, that point. You know that when you chant and you are Krishna and you feel so empty, no social media, nothing to fill that emptiness of you know, with the old, I wanted to almost say something strong, the old distractions. But if you practice in that point, something new comes and you rise to a wonderful new life. You all did it once. Do it now in relationship to the Bhagavatam, please. A new revolution, I am suggesting. A new thing. Ah, Krishna. Now, we wish to go through this in a practical and easy way. I request you to sit properly. I need some strength here. I got these original Bhagavatams signed by Srila Prabhupada. It's not a photocopy, it's the real thing, and I will post it or put it later to his Vyasasan that you can just touch it and maybe say a prayer or whatever you wish. Very wonderful thing. So let's keep this here. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You to do a few conscious inhales and exhales. Breathe in deeply and breathe out deeply. Somehow Krishna brought us here in this place. all together. The subject was the Bhagavatam. Think about Srila Prabhupada translating the Bhagavatam in Vrindavan. He felt he needed the Bhagavatam to complete his message and mission, his mission in the Western world. For him, like for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the whole Gaudiya tradition, there was no other work through which Krishna would become so manifest as the Bhagavatam. The second verse says, by regular attending the Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes situated in the heart. What need is there for any other scripture? Now, my dear devotees, think about what you could do in relishing the Bhagavatam. Is it maybe that you could read every day or read from time to time? Is it maybe that you could discuss with the devotees? Maybe you could make a reading circle that you meet once a week and read particular inspiring sections from the Bhagavatam. Now think about what you would need to prepare in your life so that you could do this. All of you have little time, lots of other services, many projects, some of them quite stressful. So you need to prepare a situation in your life where you can actually fulfill your attention. Now think about very concrete actions. I will read first thing after I have done my morning ritual of cleanliness. I will read my verses from the Bhagavatam, or I will do this. And finally, what are possible obstacles? Time is maybe an obstacle for you. An attention disorder, maybe. Too much reading worldly literature, maybe. Eating too much and always being sleepy, maybe. Or eating too less, maybe. What you need to remove in your life? And finally, if you wish, may turn to the deities and explain to the deities in your mind's voice some prayer. It doesn't need to now be a prayer, please let me do this action or that action, but just something in connection with the Bhagavatam, something in connection with strengthening your bhakti, something in connection with strengthening your spiritual knowledge and also your detachment, jnana and vairagya. In the end, we will again chant the verse Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everyone, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. I admit that sometimes when we are asked to, okay, now sit down and build a new intention, something in us says, wait a minute, I came for something else here, or we feel a little overwhelmed. I don't want to overwhelm anyone in the audience. That is not the idea. I want to show and suggest ways to change, but really the individual choice when you'd want to do it is absolutely up to you. But if you could not get into it now because you are an individual and you were not prepared or this would come, if you want to change something in relationship to anything, but I suggest particularly in relationship to your Bhagavatam reading, there are a few processes, dynamics of transformation in practice. You need to build an attention first, that is like a sankalpa. No? Then you also need to prepare good conditions so that your intention can grow. I know this, our Tamaha Prabhu is an accomplished gardener, and you should see the gardenias before our house. It's very impressive. So he had an intention, let us have gardenias for the deities, and then he prepared maybe some dung for the earth was required, or some good words to the plant, grow, 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 it's for Radha Shyam Sundar, like this. Then take action, no? And then do something that you can maintain your new habit, because there will be always obstacles and you must be able or equipped to face them. This will help you to get in, to do something in relationship to your Bhagavatam. I would like to now immediately go into another small exercise. If you could please turn to your neighbor, like you've done in the other sessions, and I again request all of you to participate. I know some of us are not used to talk freely about what's going on in their minds, but try it. Move a little out of your comfort zone. So please turn to a neighbor. Then I will give you a very, very nice exercise. Vishwamba, we will do. I'm going with Vishwamba. Take your seat. You can see, I want to bring my audience to a new level. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Has anyone who has not yet found a neighbor? Please look at, yeah, there is someone for you. You can join with them. Anyone? Amala Harinam, you found a neighbor? You found your daughter. Hare Krishna. Best neighbor. And the Mataji lady side, have you found neighbors? No problem, you found a neighbor. Good. Now, I request you. Hare Krishna. Now, I request you to talk with your neighbor just about one experience you had with the Bhagavatam when you read it. What happened? Best is a good experience. And then I request you after that to talk with your neighbor about what you could do to read more frequently the Bhagavatam. What would work for you? What I guess you all came to the retreat. You are willing to do this or enthusiastic to do this. So what could you do to serve the Bhagavatam? First, one positive experience in reading the Bhagavatam. You can even say, I had a doubt first and something happened and the doubt got cleared, or whatever happened in terms of your Bhagavatam. And then what new habit could you form? What action could you take? And so on. You can maybe look from time to time here if you run out of talk material. I know the Matajis won't run out, but and then just converse a little. It will churn the subject. It will help you to become connected to what this session was all about. So please start now. Krishna, I'm very, very, very sorry. One small last thing. One devotee kindly said, maybe there are some people who never read the Bhagavatam up till now. Well, all the better. Then you make a plan to read it. So we want to make now connection to the Bhagavatam. Good. How much time? First start, then I will see. Hare Krishna. Maybe like 7 minutes.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, Hare Krishna, I sincerely hope this was useful for you. I mean, the whole seminar, and this was just meant to round everything up. We will place the Bhagavatam there at Prabhupada's lotus feet. Please be honest, only Krishna may steal butter, but you cannot steal the Bhagavatam. It belongs to devotees, but you can just have a glance. You can put it in a where everyone can hold it, see what it is, and so on. They are really, somehow these original Bhagavatam books, for which Prabhupada did such a great effort, really. Yeah. When you see them, you it does something to you. It is very endearing, really. I would like to now just see if there are, I think everything is clear, because the questions which you had, you could resolve, I think, amongst yourself in this discussion. So, is there any like urgent question to the content, not just on Krishna consciousness in general? Just, that's not good. Rasananda looks at me. He asks a question and discourages his audience to put one. I'm Damohapabu, yes. We will give you a microphone, one moment, please. Here it's coming. Then we can hear you.
The four steps that you outlined were very interesting, and you explained them in English, but I noticed there was a Sanskrit term with each of those, like, you know, with the beginning point and then midpoint and the still. And could you explain where that
comes
Sanskrit
from?
Terms came from?
From the Rig Veda. It's a Vedic thing. It is coming from the Rig Veda. It's also the man, the step Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasam, they are Upanishadic things. They help us to come to a thing. What we always hear when someone wants to make a change, he has to first perceive that something is not wrong. He has to see the miseries of birth. Something is wrong. He has to see the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. Then knowledge comes. So in this model which I introduced, you have to see, this model leans on this point. You are, before you do spiritual changes, you have to feel some dissatisfaction with your present state, and you must then exit and start something new. This is a general thing. It is not that this is only in the Rig Veda, and so on. I just wanted to make it so systematic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tattvavit Prabhu has a question. Please give Tattvavit Prabhu a microphone.
I'm sorry?
Comment?
Oh, comment, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Last night we talked about Sutama Brahma, and I'd like to just tell you, devotees, another dimension to his story. When Bhakti Chiruswami started the Ujjain Temple, he put out a magazine for a year or two with lots of Krishna Katha about Ujjain, where Sandipani Muni had his school. And I read an article in that magazine which tells why Sudama Brahman was so poor. And this is the other dimension to his personality. I think you'll find it interesting. When Krishna and Sudama were asked by the guru to go get firewood in the forest. The guru's wife gave Sudama some dry eatables, and he tied them in his dhoti, or tied them in a little sack, and he kept them, he carried them. Krishna didn't know about them, but Sudama had them in case they got hungry. Then they got caught in the rainstorm, and they were up in the tree. They took shelter in the tree to avoid the water and the flood. And it was dark by that time. It was dark. And Krishna couldn't see Sudama. Maybe he was below Sudama, and Sudama was higher or something like that. Plus it was dark. But he heard all of a sudden what sounded like Sudama chewing something. And he said, "Sudama, are you eating something?" And he said, "No, Krishna, it's just so cold that my teeth are chattering." Something like that. He gave some. He didn't want to share with Krishna. It was just a little stinginess. And therefore, he became poor.
Wonderful.
And then, of course, the redemption was he brought the very, meager little offering to Krishna. But Krishna said,
"Thank you so very much, Hare Krishna." Thank you very much for enriching our hearts. Yes, this is how he was. Thank you. Yes, I see. Maybe there was one on the lady side, and then I saw Mahatma Prabhu. Did I see? Oh, okay. Then let us first give to Mahatma, because it is related to this.
In the commentaries on that story, it is said that Sudama was proud of being poor and renounced. So Krishna gave him wealth to kill that pride of being poor and renounced.
I guess. Here's another comment on that by Sanatana Goswami. Hari Shyam, we are churning the nectar of Krishna Kada.
So Sanatana Goswami in Goswami Tipuni, Prabhupada said anybody is very serious and eager to understand this 10th canto pastime must read Sanatana Goswami Goswami Tipuni, Prabhupada said. So while I was reading, in this related, just remember that Sanatana Goswami says, there are two types of renunciation. As a result of performing bhakti, jnana vairagya is a naturally byproduct. It is the extension of bhakti, not that separate endeavor. And so one type of vairagi is Prahlad Maharaj, who is utilizing everything, even though he's ruling the world. And it's the same detachment also found in Vipra Sudama, who did not have anything opposite. But both are same extension of bhakti. And Sanatana Goswami Pada says that when Vipra Sudama arrived at Dwarka and entered into Rukmini Devi, as Maharaj narrated very sweetly, I really love that story, the way he presented more than the book. And there Sanatana Goswami Pada says that Lord Krishna noticed that all the brahmanas are talking, gossiping that we are so rich, staying in Dwarka, but this brahmana is more intimate than us, but he has such a poverty that his little covering, private part, has a nuts so many places that cannot even have a new cloth falling apart. How is possible? And then this word going further as Maharaj explained that finally Lord Krishna took him to his private chamber on the bed, bedroom, and forced him to sit. He didn't want to sit because he thought this is Lakshmi Devi's serving place. But after sitting there, that Sudama Vipra condition where Lord Krishna started washing his feet and Mother Rukmini was fanning, then the maid servants, 300 maid servants of the Rukmini Devi started talking. how is possible that this Brahman is so poor that the Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, not Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi is fanning? This is difficult to understand. And Krishna noticed it. So he gave a speech, small speech. And he quoted three verses. I'll just give one verse. He says, Naham idya prajatibham tapasa upasamenava sarva bhutatma guru susu soyajata. You all should know that if somebody rigidly follow varnashram, brahmachari, panaprastha, sannyas, it does not please me so much. If somebody is very good grihastha or kshatriya or vaishya or sudra, nothing pleases me. But if somebody very nicely, submissively serving guru, that pleases me the most. So you should know this Brahmana and myself, we were very loyal to our guru. And Maharaj already explained yesterday, last evening, that how they got three blessings. One blessing was that Krishna spoke to them that anything they heard from their guru, it will remain fresh. It will never diminish. And anything they desire, it will come. So how possible if Viprasudama asks for a palace, it will be there. It doesn't require, because already got the blessing. So how is possible he is suffering? Then Krishna revealed that actually that's external. And internally, when he gets up in the morning, he prays to me every day, my Lord, wonderful. I'm so afraid that I'll be entangled if somebody brings something. Barely what I have, I'm just trying to be detached from that. Please protect me not to send any sense gratification today. Mm-hmm. I just want barely one meal, if that is enough, I don't need more. Krishna says, I used to go, even though I live in Dwarka, I go there and protect the people who wants to give, because bhakti draws opulence. But I'm telling them, no, this Brahman doesn't need. I disguise in a form and I keep him protected because he's always praying. That's why his condition is like that.
Thank you very, very, very much, Hare Krishna. Oh, you're talking Bhagavatam. Wonderful. All of you. Wonderful. So this will be unfortunately the last question because time is there. But please ask your question and then we need to do a little concluding kirtan. Please ask your question.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you everybody. It's amazing. Amazing to be here. It's kind of not a question and a commentary maybe. Like when you just said how we, when we reach Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to get that recharging nectar, and also we need to get, like, to be more detached because we are not the body. And I want to talk how when we read the Bhagavatam, we should understand. Because when, like, back in the 90s, when we've been like young devotees, when we would read these verses about that we are not the body, we would deepen the detachments from the family, and I could see that kind of I would feel myself very separate from my parents. And now, like after 25 years, and we do the very special hidden work, like family constellation, which helps people to really respect their roots. And then, because the roots coming back to Krishna, Krishna's original ancestor. But at the same time, I see many devotees have this difficulty to really respect their parents.
Yes, Mataji, this is very good that you say this. Please, I'm in this difficult situation. I have to be the timekeeper. Okay. This is the most miserable position in life. So
just like last version, like last thing. So like when we read the Bhagavatam, we kind of like really read. Like if we can do it with our heart to really understand it right.
Yeah, how we we read it with our heart and then we understand it right. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, thank you very much for the valuable comment. I will now request all of us to close this. It will be very brief, but it's very nice if we once again raise our voice and chant for only 5 minutes or 6 minutes. then everything is nicely concluded by the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Aibo,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everyone, one more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Oh, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki Hare Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. It has been a great pleasure to serve you. I hope it is useful for you. Don't forget, Living the Bhagavatam Part 2 is starting now. You have to put it into practice, into your life. Just one little thing, two little things. We will serve you now delicious prasadam. If you can somehow swims through the rain. And the second is, this evening there is a wonderful kirtan evening with many of the local talents, we hope. Amala Harinam, Vishwambar, Kishore, Krishna. No, Kishore has now a long name. Krishna Kishore, yes. And so many talents, local talents. Please come, it starts around 6:30 to 7 is Aartik, and right after the Aartik. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.